The Old Testament lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 26. When Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate, without inhabitant?'" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priest and the prophet said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves a sentence of death, because he is prophesying against this city, as you have heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city and all the words you have heard. Now therefore mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon the city and its inhabitants. For in truth the Lord sent me to speak all these words in your ears. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the third chapter. "Brothers, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory and their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, for from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to it, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
And we confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." And please be seated, and we continue with hymn 422. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message is from Luke, the 13th chapter, the first 5 verses. "Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, 'Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But But unless you repent, you too will all perish. For those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. It's kind of an unusual text for Lent, but trust me, I am going to connect it to Lent. I always do it, don't I? Sure. Jesus is responding to that question about untimely deaths. Some of them had occurred because Pilate, an evil man, had killed some of them, and some of them were just a construction accident. How many? Now, most of you better remember this. The old Billy Joel song, "Only the Good Die Young"? Is there anybody who doesn't know that? Okay. See, I'm always afraid of like songs because because some people usually don't know. Anyway, that's kind of a silly song because of the fact only the good die young, so if you're old, what's that say? See, I didn't mind that song when I was young, but now as I'm pushing it anyway. And I really don't like it in the newspaper. Well, I don't read the newspaper, the news on the internet. And I see stories about when young people die. That always kind of bothers me. You ever get that question, why? Man, I ask that question too much. But see, I'm asking the wrong question. What did Jesus say about untimely or unnatural events like this? Pilate's soldiers, we don't know the full story, but Pilate saw something going on in the temple he didn't like. He sent the soldiers in. I would assume there was a scuffle of some sort, and some died. Another one was an accident at a construction site where 18 were killed when the tower fell. In Jesus' day, they thought that misfortune happened because you had done something wrong. That attitude, I mean, it's an incorrect attitude, but it's seen in the book of Job and even in Proverbs. Job has no idea why he is suffering. Job's got it stuck in his head that I've done the right things, I've followed God's commands, I should be getting rewards, not punished. Job asks this question in Job 8. Does God pervert justice? Does the Almighty pervert what is right? When your children sinned against him, he gave them over to the penalty of their sin. In other words, Job's blaming his kids. They must have done something wrong. That's why they all got killed and I lost everything. Now, do we ever blame other people for our problems? You know what? That goes right on back to first sin. Remember? God, it's your fault. Oh, that wasn't too bright to say. Blame the woman. Blame the snake. We do that all the time. We find somebody else to blame. Job comes up with this answer in verses 5 and 6. But if you will look to God and plead with the Almighty, if you are pure and upright, even now he will rouse himself on your behalf and restore you to your rightful place. Thinking, or the ones around him are thinking, that if you just do the right things, God will have to restore you or make it right. In Jesus' day, remember the blind man? Disciples came up to him and said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. Imagine that. Remember I said in this culture, something bad happened to you because you did something wrong or your parents did something wrong. How can you do something wrong before you're born? Okay? Now, they may be alluding to the idea of original sin that we're all born with because of Adam. But they also thought of things like this when somebody was born blind or born handicapped, that God did that to them to prevent them from committing a great sin. Can you imagine that, telling parents that when their kid's born handicapped? God did this to prevent them from doing something really bad. Man, see, that is not what God is teaching. But this is ingrained in their thinking. And you think we're any better today? Modern health and welfare preachers. Here's a quote from one of these individuals. If you are righteous, you will be healthy and wealthy and honored by God and men. If you are sinful, you will be sick and poor and despised by God and men. Yeah.
You see the little twist in there? Somebody's pouring at me. Whose fault is it? It's theirs. You see Satan just taking what is good and just corrupting them into something different. So let's just say, hypothetically, if that's the way the world works, then the men that Pilate's soldiers killed had to be great unrepentant sinners. Then why wasn't Herod struck dead when he killed the babies in Bethlehem? We want to take it to a modern day example. Then, if we believe that you are punished because of what you directly have done, then the 3,000 killed on 9/11 were all unrepentant sinners. I'm not saying they are. That's the farthest thing from my mind. But if you buy into that, what you do is the punishment you get. Or good old, well, I shouldn't say good old, Stalin in the former Soviet Union. He killed 20 million of his people, including 8 million Ukrainians out of 24 million. Can you imagine killing one-third of the people? So what do we say? 8 million were all unrepentant sinners? No, you know, the little sinful side of me wouldn't mind seeing unrepentant sinners just dropping dead on the street. Yeah, I may not like that because sometimes it takes me a while to repent. But we can say suffering is because of sin in the world. That is true. Sometimes we do bring upon something by ourselves. Why? Bill Wells, I'm going to take your motorcycle out tonight because you're going to be so nice to loan it to me. And it is raining out there and I'm going to go 90 miles an hour down I-65. Now, if I get in a wreck and get killed, whose fault is it? Well, not Bill. You know, you got my point. Something bad happened to me. Why? Because I'm stupid. When I don't even know how to ride a motorcycle. All right? Or if I go randomly start shooting my gun in public and I hurt somebody, I'm causing an affliction, but it wasn't their fault. That's something I have done. There's a host of other things. Yes, suffering is a result of sin in the world, generally speaking, or it can be actions. Hate to tell you that whole death and aging process, that's because we have sin in us. Yeah, it doesn't make as much fun now to grumble about the knees, does it? Alright, now let's look at what Jesus had to say here. He said, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died in the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too all will perish." What word strikes you came out twice in that reading? Repent. See, Jesus is not predicting horrid deaths for the people listening to him that day. What he's talking about is at the end of our life, we need to be repenting along the way for our sins. Now, wouldn't God be awful if he said, "You sin, eternal life is going to be in hell," but did not provide a way out of this? We would say God is unfair. Well, do you know what the most unfair thing in the entire universe is? Who got something they absolutely, totally did not deserve? Yes.
Jesus.
Yes. Well, boy. You know, we always talk about what's unfair, and this isn't fair, or that, this, that, and the other thing. But that's the most unfair thing in the history of the world. Jesus Christ, who was absolutely sinless, took all of our sins upon himself to that cross. Not only was that unfair, that is an incredible love on his part. And through Lent, you know, we're called to repent. That is a constant theme throughout Lent, is to repent. Jesus also says, now how do we love God? In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commandments. So what are his commandments? Jesus says in Matthew 22, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." From 2 John chapter 1, "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is,
that you walk in love.
And no, we don't always do that. We don't always walk in love. We don't always show it to other people. But we constantly repent of that and acknowledge what Christ has done for us. And there's still the call for repentance. Peter says in his second letter, the third chapter, verse 9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen."